The following study is a Sunday morning lesson given by Pastor Brett Metter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
So if you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We'll get right to it. Commandment number 4. The first commandment that we looked at, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then the next one, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything. That's pretty radical. And we learned about what that means and how we are to apply that to our lives 2 weeks ago. And then last Sunday, we saw commandment number 3, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And that is much more broad than perhaps what we originally thought, how we could inadvertently, even without even thinking about it, be very much guilty of breaking that commandment. And you got to remember, these are the Lord's commandments for us. I shared with you guys on Wednesday night that we are not under the law, whether you're talking about the law of Moses or the law of God, the Ten Commandments. We're not under that law. You say, but brother, shouldn't we keep the Ten Commandments? Yes. But you said we're not under it. Yes. What do you mean? Well, if we were under the law, then what does that do to us? It sends us straight to hell where we deserve to be. What, Brett? Yeah. You see, when you commit sin and go against God's way, the wages of sin is death. See, if you're under the law, you and I, we're in big trouble. But instead, we live under grace. That's what the Bible teaches, that we are not held to that law because we have a Savior who came and said, yeah, you did sin against me. You have broken the law, but praise be the Lord, we're not under the law, we're under grace. And that's the only reason we can be hopeful and happy and rejoicing together. That's why we sang just now about God's amazing grace, his amazing love, that he takes us sinners who've broken the law. Whichever law you want to talk about, we've done it. We've broken those laws, and the Lord says, but I'm going to erase your sins and make it as if you've sinned, never even sinned. Justification. That's that fancy Christian word that means just as if you've never sinned at all. Well, Brett, then if you're saying that you're not under the law and you're saved by grace, then don't we have license then to go off and sin and do whatever we want to do? Paul said, should we continue in sin and let grace abound? He says, God forbid. In other words, there are things that are the do's and the don'ts in the Bible. And there are the commandments, the Ten Commandments. While we're not under them, lest we be dead and thrown into hell where we deserve, we are those who love the Lord so much, our desire, our goal should be to keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we're not under the law, but the Ten Commandments, we look at and we think, okay, Lord, show us how to do this. Now, this is important because it has to do with why we want to keep the Ten Commandments. If you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments to keep yourself out of hell, you can't do that. No one can. The only one who was able to live perfectly was Jesus Christ. So if that's your goal, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. Because you want to go to heaven, that's not the way to heaven. But there's one way to heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only way. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved than that of Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures teach. So then why do we study the Ten Commandments? It's a get to. I like to call them the tender commandments because it's a God who loves us, who wants us to do well. And he says, listen, if you want to do well as a person, as a people group, as a society, then you will keep my Ten Commandments. Sin is not bad because it's forbidden. It's forbidden because it's bad. The Lord says, I want you to keep my laws so that you'll be blessed. And in fact, the commandment that we're going to look at today actually comes with God's blessing on it. The word blessed means happy. When God blesses something, that makes us happy. That's the way it should work out. So what is this commandment that we're looking at? The fourth of the commandments. Now, by the way, after today, we're going to shift gears. Because the first four commandments have to do with your relationship to God. The last six commandments have to do with our relationship one with another. Laws concerning our relationship with each other. If you see like drawings of the tables of stone, you also oftentimes see five rules on one table of stone and five rules on the other. But I'd be willing to bet that the tables that Moses brought down from the mountain, there would be four on one side and six on the other. Because there's a very distinct difference between those. And I believe, remember, the Hebrew reads backwards. So it's probably the six on the left side and the four on the right side. I don't know. I wouldn't die on that battlefield, but it's something to think about. But all that to say, this is the last of the four commandments that have very much to do with your and my relationship to God personally. So no other gods, no other images, not taking the Lord's name in vain. And this one here, remembering the Sabbath. Let's see what the Lord says here in chapter 20. We begin in verse 8. And there it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What did the Lord do? He blessed the Sabbath day. When God blesses something, it means it's blessed. It's a good thing. So what did he do? He took the one day in seven and blessed it. And he made it hallowed. What's that? He made it holy. What is holy? It's a better day. It's a sacred day. It's a consecrated day set apart for something different. That's the idea. The Sabbath day should be a different day than all the other days of the week. And the Lord says here in the commandments that we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, set apart, different than the other days. That's the idea. And also sort of consecrated for God. That's what it means when you're saying it's holy, it's set apart for God. And that's why the early church called it the Lord's Day. It's the day of the Lord. So what do we do with this? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's always interesting to me how this is, if you ask me, it's kind of a loving commandment. Of all the commandments, this is just the Lord saying, I want you to take a day off. And what do we say? No, we're not going to do that. Oh, we'll do all the other commandments, but the Sabbath day, I don't know. But the Lord's just saying, I want you to take a day and set it apart for me and for my purpose, a day of rest. But we rebel against this one. It's an interesting thing to me. In fact, we view this of the Ten Commandments different than all the other commandments. I'll show you why here in a second. But before we do that, let's think about it. What's the Lord doing? Well, the Lord says, man, I want you to do this. And I even set a precedent for you that you remember this. It's a big deal. So much so that God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. What was up with that? Why did God rest? Do you think God was pooped? Let there be light. The sun pops into the sky, into space. That's a pretty big deal, but he spoke it into existence. I mean, do you think God created the whale? Let there be whales. All of a sudden, that was hard, man. Hold on a second. Is that what God was doing? Was he tuckered out? No, he took a day and said, I'm going to create 6 days, but on the seventh day, I'm going to rest for all of humanity for all time to see that that's how much I value a day of rest, a day that's set aside. Note with me that the Sabbath rest of God was long before the law of Moses or the law of God. That's an important thing because some people blow off the Sabbath day because it's the law of Moses. That's a Jewish thing. It's not our thing. So we don't need to think about it, worry about it, forget about it. But God set the precedent at the very beginning of creation of all things. That's the first thing you need to acknowledge. And there's other times, even before the Sabbath day was instituted as a law, there was other things, other times where, in fact, the Jews kept the Sabbath before it was instituted as a law. Does anybody remember? Quiz time. See how sharp y'all are. When did we talk about the Sabbath day before it was even a law in our Through the Bible study? Before the law was ever given here in Exodus 20 or 21 through 23, where did we talk about the Sabbath? Anybody? When we were talking about manna, right? There in Exodus 16, we read where the people were going to go out and gather manna on the seventh day in the morning. But God says, don't do it because it's supposed to be a day of rest. So when the people were to gather, they were to gather twice the amount of manna on the day before the Sabbath so that they could rest on the Sabbath day and the Lord would provide for them. So it really is speaking of the Sabbath day principle, which we're going to come back to that little story in a second. But it was long before the law was ever instituted by God to Moses or through the Ten Commandments. So this day of rest. Now, it's interesting. If there's one thing that you and I should probably really do on just a logical level, just pure logic, don't you think we're just a little too crazy busy? You know, I remember reading in the 80s, there was articles that came out said, you and I, by the year 2000, we're going to be working 20 hours a week. And the reason why is that, you know, the PC, the personal computer was coming on. You get your Apple IIe, man. Remember the Apple IIe? Some of you are old enough to remember that. It's blistering 2 megabytes of memory or whatever it was. And we thought, man, that's going to make things so fast. People are just going to work 20 hours a week because computers are just going to, and automation and, you know, emailing and stuff. We're going to be able to work from home and just chill out in the backyard. Everything's going to be so much easier when we get further into this. How's that worked out for y'all? Do you guys just have time on your hands? Oh, man. You know, I remember 10 years ago, I was getting my new computer thinking, this is amazing. I'm a little bit of a geek, a little bit of a computer geek. I do enjoy performance in a computer. But I look back to that computer I got 10 years ago and I think, man, how did I survive? So the Pastor Jeff, you know, he knew my computer was starting to kind of die, the one that I've been using for the last 8 years. And it's been a great computer. It was a screamer at the time when I got it. But he just got me a Mac Pro. Yeah. All the geeks are like, oh, this is so neat. Mac Pro. It is. It's amazing. And like now, you know, I can sit there and open all my apps at once in like 3 seconds. You're like, Brett, why would you do that? Because it's really cool. It's just like blistering speed. Like, so when I click on things, it's like just like a whole second is sheared off. So now at the end of the day, I have so much extra time. You're laughing because you know, well, even with that computer, Brett, it is fast, but how many seconds are you saving? And it's funny, we think that we're you know, doing good with time and stuff, but the fact is most of us misjudge how much we work and how much we don't work. You know the guy that always, when you say, yeah, I was working, you know, 45 hours this week. Oh yeah, well, I worked 75 hours. Have you ever met that guy? You're like, well, la-ti-da, 75 hours. Did you know, here's a little info for you. The Bureau of Labor Statistics came out and did a report and said the people that say they work 75 hours are actually exaggerating by about 25 hours. It's actually true. It's an article, and it kind of intrigues me. In fact, there's a ratio that's interesting. People are very good at not very good at estimating their work hours. So in a study highlighted by Harvard Business Review, when asked how much work people do each week, Americans tend to report longer hours than if they were to keep a more accurate diary of their work. The BLS analysis found, for instance, that a person who works 40 hours in a week will, on average, report working 43 hours. Not only that, but the more hours that people work, they exaggerate. So Americans who say they work 75 hours tend to be exaggerating by 25 hours. The average American work week is about 34.5 hours, according to the BLS. And they go on and speculate, why do people exaggerate their hours? It's a funny thing. Our culture sort of esteems generally a busy person, or at least we think that. If we can let people know that we're really busy, 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 busy. How you doing, man? I'm busy. And the reason we like to say that is because it makes us feel kind of important. Man, I'm in demand. People need me. So if I were not to work 75 hours, I really mean 50, but 75 hours, then the world would fall apart around me. Because I'm so important. And we get shockingly busy. For you VeggieTales fans. That's a great one. Remember that? Busy, busy, shockingly busy. Remember that? Am I alone here? I'm much too busy for you. Oh, it's a great VeggieTale. But that's a lot of us. We walk around, I'm very busy. Busy, busy, busy. But here's the thing. Is busy a godly characteristic? You know, when you see Jesus walk this earth through the Gospels, do you ever see Jesus running late or in a hurry? Or does he walk up to the woman who was caught in adultery, is about to be something? Sorry, don't have time for you. Bye. It's an amazing thing. Man, I wish I was more like Jesus on this one. because he was in demand, and the world really would have fallen apart if he didn't walk the scene. But he never was perceived. The only time, by the way, you see God in a hurry in the Bible, in any picture, in any example, it's in the story of the prodigal son, where the father, who's picturing God, runs out to meet his son who's repenting. It's the only time you see God in a hurry, is running to give us a big hug when we repent from our sins. Other times, God's totally chilled out, seated upon the throne, not pacing back and forth, but seated upon the throne. And yet we as a culture, and even as Christians, I would maybe make the argument that Christians, we like to be busier than maybe even the rest of the people. We're busy because we do our jobs, but we're also serving Jesus. Busy, busy, busy. And I'm not even sure that's the right thing. So what are we supposed to do? The Lord says, listen, you can work. 6 days you can work. It's funny, we work 5 days a week, but the Lord says, 6 days shalt thou work. And on the seventh day, you can take a rest and make it a holy day set apart for my purpose, for my will, my plan. So the Sabbath day, I think it might just be a large answer to some real logistic, practical problems that we have as a culture and as a people. If we were just to take God serious, face value, say, okay. But the problem is none of us look at the Sabbath day logically or pragmatically. We just kind of look at it as like, oh, okay, spiritually, what's this thing about the Sabbath? And then if you ask people, no matter who you ask, you're going to hear a totally different answer. I've heard so many opinions about the Sabbath day. Let me go through some of the top three or four. So if you're taking down notes, jot down, and I want to see which one maybe you fall into, which category, your view of the Sabbath day. In fact, what do you think about the Sabbath? Think about that for a second. What do I think about the, do I care? Have I thought about it? Do I think about, like, what am I going to do this Sabbath day? Or have you never thought, like, what's your view? Think about that, and then see which one of these categories, if any, you fall into. Category number one, the guy that says, the Sabbath day is great, but not for me. It's good for the Jews because they have their Sabbath day and their kosher foods and their little, you know, rituals and all that. Good for them, but it's not for me. I'm a Gentile, or I don't even care anything about the Bible. I don't care about the Sabbath. It's just not for me. There's a lot of people that fall in that category. Sabbath day is not for me. You might even be a good Christian person who loves Jesus who just hasn't even given one second of thought to the Sabbath day, even though it's in the Ten Commandments. That's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. It's one of the Ten Commandments, but a lot of people have not even considered the idea even, or consider what it means for them, the idea of keeping the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so some people say, we don't care about that. That's a Jew thing. Well, I disagree. I biblically just don't see that. In fact, the Sabbath day was long before the Jews and their laws was performed by God at creation. And he set it as a precedent. The Sabbath day. Now, let me just say, for people that say, I don't know about the Sabbath, I'm just going to blow that off and do my own thing. You know, there's one thing I've noticed is a lot of times people, they don't get ahead. Even though they think they're going to get ahead by working 7 days, they don't actually, it doesn't work out for them. Just on a real practical level, I've seen people who just don't care about it and they work 7 days a week, but they're not ahead financially. In fact, they never quite keep their head above water. They're always struggling. And it's like they just are spinning their wheels and they're wondering why. And I honestly believe that one of the possible things you should search out, if you feel like your money just goes out the window and you're working really hard, but you never see any good fruit from your labor, something to think about is, are you robbing God of a day off that he's asking you to take? And one of the things that we see God do in his word is say, man, if you think you're going to rip me off on the Sabbath day, you guys got another thing coming, for the Jews at least. In fact, they were not only to take a Sabbath day, they were supposed to take a Sabbath year. Did you know that? They're supposed to let their fields go fallow and not even harvest their fields. But Brett, they got a year where they need food. Store up twice the amount of food, the Lord would say. And let that year go by and give the ground rest, give your cattle rest, a year off. So serious the Lord was about them taking the year off. Do you remember why they were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC? The Jews were dragged off. Does anybody remember how many years? 70 years. The Lord says, listen, I'm going to take you for 70 years because 70 times you have forgotten the Sabbath year rest that I told you to keep. So for the Jews, God took it so seriously, he said, I'm going to take that back. And it's funny how we think that we can sort of blow off God's plan for us and just because it's a Jewish thing or it's a law and we're not under the law. But I wonder if maybe we think we're getting away with something when really we're only spinning our wheels, going nowhere fast. Something to think about. Such was the case that I referred to earlier in Exodus 16. The people that went out to gather on the Sabbath, what did they find? Nothing. They found zip, zilch. No manna was on the ground because they thought they could get away with, oh, I'm going to gather a little extra on the Sabbath. We'll get ahead this way. But instead they found nothing. It's the way the Lord works, by the way. When we're not doing what we're supposed to do and we think we're going to get ahead somehow, do you remember before Jesus died on the cross, he told his disciples, I want you to go. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. But I will rise from the dead, and I want you to meet me up in Galilee. Wait for me up in Galilee, and I'll go. Now, you got to understand the disciples had no clue what he was talking about. It's almost like Jesus said, they're going to kill me. I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to raise on the third day. And it's almost like the disciples are like, la, 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 la. We don't want to hear that. We've given 3 years of our lives. You're the Messiah. You're the one who's going to take care of all this stuff. You're not going to die. God forbid, it's not going to happen. The Lord's saying, no, I'm going to die and be buried, but I'm going to raise from the dead and I'll meet you in Galilee. So what happened? Well, they went up to Galilee, but did they wait for Jesus? Peter said, I'm going fishing. He said, I'm going back to the old career. Now that Jesus is dead and buried and all this time we had, it's like Peter said, I'm going back. What did Jesus say? Peter, you're going to leave your nets and I'm going to make you fishers of men. You got a bigger calling than this, the fish in the Sea of Galilee. So Peter, he says, I'm going fishing. Well, a bunch of the disciples go out with him. So, okay, we'll go too. So they're out there and they're fishing all night. And Jesus sees them out there and he yells out, they not knowing it's Jesus. Hey, have you guys caught any fish? And it's like one of the first time fishermen tell the story truly, accurately. We caught nothing. They didn't talk about the one that got away. They didn't talk about we had a few nibbles or any of that. No, we've caught nothing. Now, what's interesting to me about that is Jesus told them to go do something else. They went back to the old profession. They thought they could maybe catch some fish, do something worthwhile, but they came up empty. Man, when the Lord calls us to something and we don't do it, we're going to come up empty. That's what happened to Peter. So if the Lord's called us to a Sabbath day and we're out there saying, I'm going to work the seventh day and get away with something, you're going to find yourself spinning your wheels. I'm just giving you that heads up. I know this personally, experientially, to be true. So, what do you do with this first guy? Well, the Sabbath day is great, but I'm not going to do it. It's not for me. I would beg of you to reconsider because it's one of the big Ten Commandments. I think that's kind of important. Number two person. So you got the guy that just blows it off altogether. Hopefully that's not you. But the second guy is the person that says, the Sabbath day is great, so let's give it a whirl. Huh? That's one of your points, Brett? It is. The first guy is the Sabbath day is great, but it's not for me. The second person is the Sabbath day is great, so let's give it a whirl. Now, here's the problem. Brett, why do you use such flippant language, give it a whirl? Well, that's the purpose. There's a lot of people who say, let's give the old Sabbath day a whirl. Give it a try. Well, when it works out, when I can find time to take a Sabbath day, not take it too seriously, but if I'm not, you know, busy doing my thing, then maybe I'll find a day and take it and give it to the Lord. Because the give it a whirl kind of person usually works out to be years between when they actually take a Sabbath for real and give it to the Lord, make it holy, set it apart from the other days of the week. The old give it a whirl mentality. The problem with the give it a whirl mentality, how would it work out if we did that with all the other commandments? Thou shalt not kill. Well, let's give that one a whirl. I guess I won't kill anybody this week. I killed a few people last week, but this week, we'll give it a whirl. No murder. Note to self, don't kill anybody this week. No, we don't give the old thou shalt not kill a whirl, nor do we give thou shalt not commit adultery. Honey, I'm gonna give that one a whirl this week. Give it a whirl. And if you give it a whirl, then your wife's going to be guilty of breaking the other commandment that I just talked about, thou shalt not kill. Right? I mean, it's not a good way to go about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not does not mean, let's give her a whirl. So if you're a give it a whirl kind of person on one of these Ten Commandments, can I just maybe suggest that you kind of repent and realize that this is one of the Ten Commandments? Why do we blow off the Sabbath day principle when we look at the other commandments as commandments, and now we look at this one as sort of a suggestion that we can give a whirl. Be careful on this one. You know, I love it when from time to time in history, we see people who take the Bible seriously, take the Ten Commandments with a certain gravity. And it's a bit of a shock to our system when we see somebody who really has conviction this way. It's almost rare to even see. Now, this is tricky because if you see where we're going to take this, I'm not a legalist. I don't believe by you keeping the Sabbath day, it's going to dictate whether you go to heaven or hell. But I do believe that there's real value in the principle of the Sabbath. But principles, it doesn't mean you take the give it a whirl mentality just because it's a principle. What do you mean, Brett? Well, what about Eric Little? There's that guy back in the 1924 Summer Olympic Games in Paris. He was he was called the Flying Scotsman, fastest guy of all Scotland in the 100 meter dash. And there, I guess it was yard back then. Wasn't it yard back then, 100 yard? I don't remember. Decimal. If God liked the decimal system, he would have had 10 disciples, not 12. But I forget. But it was 100 meters, I think. And so there he was, ready to go. Well, they had to jockey around the heat races. Well, one of the heat races just happened to land on the Sabbath day. Well, this guy, Eric Little, who was born in China of missionary parents, who had great convictions in his heart about keeping the Ten Commandments, and particularly this issue of the Sabbath day, in his heart, he decided to set a day aside every week, one day aside, to worship the Lord, to keep it as the day of the Lord and do nothing else. So when they said his heat race was on the Sabbath, he just politely declined and said, I can't do that. It's against my commitment to the Lord, and there's something that's greater than an Olympic medal. It's my keeping of the Sabbath. Well, the world was not only shocked, but many people were really angry because he was picked to win the 100 meters. But the heat races happened, went by, and he wasn't there, and he didn't qualify, and he didn't run. Except they said, well, you can run the 400 meter because the qualification for that is not on the Sabbath day. Well, those of you track and field people, you know that the 400 meter versus the 100 meter, very different race. Especially if you're a guy like me. You know, the 100 meters, you might be able to suffer through that, but 400 meters, that might as well be a marathon. You know what I'm saying? And the 400 meter guy's built a little different usually than the 100 meter dude. But Eric Little there in 1924 qualified for the 400 meter race, went on to the finals and dominated and soundly beat everybody else and won the gold medal. And it's kind of this great story. Maybe you saw the movie Chariots of Fire. If you haven't, it's worth a view. A guy who was so convinced that the Sabbath was important as a principle that he wasn't willing to just break that commitment he made to the Lord to keep the Sabbath and remember that it's a holy day. Some of you would say, man, he should have just run. Why not, man? God will forgive him. But that's where this guy who was a man of conviction, I don't believe it was a legalistic thing where if I do this, I'm going to go to hell. It was more of just saying, I'm just going to remember the Sabbath. It was a guy who said, there's something more important than a gold medal, even if you're talking about the Olympics. See, the problem is we are so give it a whirl kind of mentality that to hear a story like that, you think, that guy's crazy. So committed to something. Come on. Could it be that it's just more the guilt is on our side and not as much on his? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. This is what the Lord says to us in the Big Ten. So give it the whirl attitude is kind of a cavalier attitude and perhaps is the wrong way to go. You say, perhaps? Well, let's consider another one. So you got the guy that says, Sabbath day is great, but it's not for me. But then you have the old, the Sabbath day is great, so I'll give it a whirl kind of mentality. I bet there's a lot of us that have that kind of mentality. But then there's the other side of the coin. The Sabbath day, number three, is the law. So you better do it or else. Have you guys met people like this? There are family members and friends that you have that have told you things like this. How many of you, by show of hands, have been told that because you go to church on Sunday, you are going to hell? Raise your hand. See, there's a lot of people in here, a ton of people. Yeah, you have friends and relatives. Probably many of them, if not most of them, are Seventh-day Adventists. Now, let me say this. I know a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. I know some that are very good people, love the Lord. But there's a very legalistic side of our Adventist friends. And when it gets actually a little bit on the really legalistic side, when they say, how many of you have been told this one? That's one thing. But have you ever been told, as I've been told several times, because you meet on Sunday instead of Saturday, you have taken the mark of the beast. Has anybody been told that? Anybody? Yeah, like four or five of you. Last service, there was like 40 people. See, it has to do with your family members and a certain belief system they have that they think is from the Bible. Now, trust me, as I study the Bible, the mark of the beast, the thing that the Bible's talking about, it's not what it's about. It's a whole nother deal, and it's a big deal, but it's not anything to do with the Sabbath day. And a person who doesn't keep the Sabbath day, well, not only will you, if you're a Jew and you're not keeping the Sabbath day, then you are breaking the law, and, well, the Bible has some grave things to say about the person, the Jew, who's breaking the law. Would you keep your finger here in Exodus 20, and just go to the right to Exodus chapter 31. Let me show you. If you're a legalistic person saying you got to keep it because it's the law. See, this is where it gets really tricky. Because I'm suggesting that the Sabbath day is something that we need to think about and appropriate in our lives. How? That's another question. What does it mean? That's another question. But if we're just talking about should you keep the Sabbath day? Well, if you're saying yes because it's the law, whether it's the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses. If we're under that law, then here's how we're supposed to keep that. If you're a real Bible person, this is what you're supposed to do. If you're doing it because of legal reasons, check it out. Exodus 31, and we will start right here in verse 12. Exodus 31, 12 says, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel." Who's Moses speaking to? The Jews, saying, "Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you," between the Lord and who? Jews, Israel. "It'll be a sign for me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord and that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doth any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." Okay, let's have a vote. All in favor of keeping the Sabbath day like this law, raise your hand, please. Yeah, you're like, man, we should do that? Well, we'd all be dead right now. We would have been killed a long time ago, don't you think? Because have you ever worked on the Sabbath? Now, here's where it gets kind of funny to me. Here's the funny thing. Our Seventh-day Adventist friends say, well, okay, we believe you got to keep the Sabbath and because of legalistic reasons. Well, wait a minute. Then you better make sure you're doing it on the right day. Yeah, Brett, that's right, you Sunday worshipers. Worshiping the sun. By the way, I had a guy come up and said, you know, you guys that meet on Sunday are worshiping the sun. That's where the name Sunday came from. It was from pagans. Worshiping the sun, and that's what you guys are doing. No, I don't think so. We live in Portland. we kind of forget it even exists sometimes. But worshiping the sun, that's not what we're doing. Well, that's what it is, Sunday. Well, the funny thing is, the Saturn's day, did you know where Saturday came from, the name? It's pagan in origin. In fact, pretty much everything has pagan origins. And we can find all kinds of paganism in our histories and our names of weeks and stuff. But all that to say, they're saying, well, Saturday is the true Sabbath. Now, here's the thing. If you're a Jew, yeah, Saturday, if you go to Israel, Friday night at sundown is the beginning of Sabbath. So sundown all the way through Friday night to Saturday at sundown, that's the end of the Sabbath. I was giving our Saturday night service people a little bit of a hard time last night because I was saying, man, look at you guys. You're here on Saturday. And they're all like, yeah. And those Sunday morning people tomorrow, guilty. But then I was able to point out that once the sun goes down, it's no longer the Sabbath. And by that time, the sun had already gone down. I was like, look, you sinners. No, I didn't say that. But see, the thing is, that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous argument. Oh, you got to worship on Saturday. Well, they say that's the true Sabbath. But here's the problem with that. Did you know when you really get into the academic, esoteric argument about when the true Sabbath is, what we know for sure is we don't know for sure what day is the true Sabbath. What do you mean, Brad? It's Saturday. Well, even if I give you that and say, okay, it's Saturday then. Well, great. How do you know that we're technically not on Saturday? Maybe it's Tuesday. Oh, come on, Brett, we know it's Saturday. Well, we don't. You see, record keeping throughout history actually was lost and tweaked out and messed up. You can show that the calendars changed, the times changed throughout the centuries and millennia. And unless you can go back all the way to when God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, unless you can pin it down, that was actually a Saturday for sure. Now, by the way, I believe it probably was. Maybe the first day of creation was Sunday. And then he went all the way through until Friday at sundown, and I think that's probably when the Lord, I will give you that, I think that's probably when the Lord rests. But you say, but Brett, so which one is it? I wasn't there. I don't know, I wasn't there. You say, Brett, you're pretty old, but I'm not that old. Nor are you, and that's the problem. We don't know for sure. So the legalist is saying, man, if you don't worship on true Saturday, problem is we don't know what true Saturday is. We lost that historically, and it's kind of a scary argument. If that's what you're believing in, you might be doing Tuesday and we don't even know it. Well, what's your point? My point is the day really that important? See, the legalist starts to say, oh, you better make sure it's a Sunday or Saturday or this or that. And it becomes this brutal thing. Paul the apostle had to sort that out with the church at Colossae. See, the Colossians were people who were mostly, there was Gentiles. And the Jews didn't know what to do. You know, the first Christians after Christ died and rose from the grave were mostly Jews. But remember when Peter was told, as he saw the sheet of meat come down, and they were unkosher meats. And Peter was told, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord, I'm not going to eat anything that's unclean. And the Lord says, don't you call unclean that which I have made clean. And it was really Peter's vision that the Lord gave to him to say, you know what, I'm about to bring in a Gentile group into the church. And they don't know anything about kosher meats. And they don't know much about the Sabbath day. And they don't know much about circumcision and all the laws of the Jews. They're not going to know, but they're going to be my people all the same. And Peter, it was tough. Paul would even later have to give Peter a hard time, saying, Peter, you're making a show of eating kosher meat when you need to eat kosher, but then you're eating the Gentiles' meat when you eat and you're kind of doing it without real honesty. And Paul had to correct Peter. So what's the point? Well, Paul writes to the church at Colossae because they were debating, should they keep the Sabbath on Saturday? And should they eat meat that was sacrificed to idols? And there was all this debate about the new moon and the festivals and the feast of the Jews. What do we do with these Gentiles? So go with me to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. And there Paul nails it down. This should end the huge debate. Well, what do you guys do? Meet on Sunday or Saturday? Which day is your Sabbath day? And are you guys taking the mark of the beast? Are you going to hell because you meet on Sunday? This should really stop the whole discussion. Colossians chapter 2, we begin in verse 16. Now, by the way, Paul wrote this. Did Paul know anything about keeping the Sabbath day? Yeah, because he was called the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was schooled under the tutelage of Gamaliel, who was the big Pharisee guy. And Paul, he was a guy that would have killed you for not keeping the Sabbath before he was saved. Do you know that? Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. So now he's saying this. This is radical for Paul to say this. This is almost crazy to hear this come out of Paul's mouth. Of course, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this. But it's Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. What's that? He's saying, man, don't let people judge you. Don't make such a huge deal out of this idea of when the Sabbath is, the new moons, the feast, the festivals is the idea there, and the meat that you're eating. Meat was a big deal. It wasn't as, well, should you be a vegetarian or not? That wasn't the question. It was, where do you get your meat from? The shamble market, where they sold meat that was sacrificed to idols in the pagan temples at a discounted rate? Or do you get your meat from the kosher meat market that was extremely expensive? So these Gentiles were saying, whatever, we're going to eat meat that's cheap, man. Go for the good deal. And so they buy this meat, but the Jews are like, you can't do that. And Paul says, let no man judge you concerning the eating of meat. And I say, amen. That is a good scripture right there. And Paul would tell Timothy, man, if you want to eat meat, eat it with thanksgiving. And I do. You know what's interesting is many of the same people, the Seventh-day Adventist friends that we have, They say you got to meet on Saturday, and many of them are vegetarians, and they're very legalistic, and they try to make a biblical case of why we should not eat meat. The problem is, it totally goes against the Bible. Jesus ate meat, therefore I will eat meat with Thanksgiving and Tabasco sauce. You know, Jesus is frying up fish. Jesus caught a living creature of God and fried it up and ate it. Jesus was a meat eater. Do you know that? I hope you know that. And so am I. And don't tell me some biblical reason why we should eat meat. And I say biblical with quotes, lots of quotes around it, as many as I can find. Because those that try to make a case that you're to be a vegetarian biblically, you have very weak ground. There's no biblical case. If you want to do it because you think it makes you healthy or you like being a vegetarian, that's great. And be happy. But don't try to tell others that they have to be for spiritual reasons. That's biblically not sound. All that to say, here's Paul saying, don't let anybody judge you concerning the meat that you're eating or the Sabbath day. Why? Because it's all a shadow, he says, but the body is of Christ. What's that? You know, the Sabbath day is pointing us to Jesus. The book of Hebrews has a lot to say about, it says, labor to enter into his rest. The Bible is going to teach us that really the true rest, the true Sabbath is Jesus Christ. Remember the Passover? In 1 Corinthians, we read that our Passover is Jesus Christ. You know the lambs that were sacrificed in the Old Testament? The bulls, the rams, the goats that were sacrificed? The book of Hebrews says there's no more ram or bull or sacrifice for sin. Why? Because Jesus was the lamb who was slain once for all sin. We don't get up on Sunday morning and slay a lamb before we go to church. At least most of us don't do that. Why? Because we're going to celebrate the real deal. We are focusing on the real person and work of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, no longer do we get really into the shadow. Because we've got the real thing. In the Old Testament, they had only the shadow to point forward to the real thing. So that's why the sacrifices, the lambs, the rams were slain. That's why the Sabbath was important. That's why they kept the Passover. It was all to point forward into history to Jesus, who would be the ultimate lamb. But we, as the Gentile church, or anyone who would believe in Jesus, we have the real thing. So if on that wonderful Hallmark holiday, Valentine's, I come home from work and I have a Hallmark card and 12 roses for my wife, Debbie. And I come up and there Debbie walks out the front door and the sun is glistening through her hair. And I run slow motion. There's a mental picture for you. Music in the background. And there I come. And it's Valentine's Day. Debbie's, she's excited. She's going to get a big kiss. And we're gonna, you know, it's Valentine's Day. But just before I get to Debbie, I fall down onto the ground. And I get right down to where her shadow is on the ground, and I start kissing her shadow. And I squish the roses into the concrete, trying to give her the roses. And I wrinkle up the card, and I rub it on the concrete because there's a shadow. Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Brett. Brett, you need to be seen. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm getting into her shadow. You're like, yeah, but Brett, her shadow's there, but she's right there. You want to give the flowers to her. You want to give her the big kiss and hug. You want to, why? Because she's there. The shadow is not as important. Now, the problem is, that's what Paul's saying. You guys are all tripped out about the Sabbath and the laws and the festivals and the feasts and getting all into the what meat you should eat. You're missing the point, Paul says. The point is, you've got Jesus. You have the real deal. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the meat that satisfies. Jesus is the reason we worship. Don't miss the point. Let no man judge you concerning these things. And yet, isn't it interesting that lots of people who are very legalistic say, you guys are meeting on the wrong day. Paul says, don't let any man judge you concerning the day, the Sabbath. Now, you say, okay, Brett, so the legalist, the person who's, the problem with that is if you're making it a law, then the law, if you're going to keep one point of the law, you got to keep all points of the law. And one of those laws, if you don't keep the Sabbath day, you deserve to die. I'm not really for that one. I would much rather be under the grace of God and enjoy the fact that I have blown it. I have broken the law, but the Lord loves me and forgives me. Thus, I'm a recipient of his good grace. Now, All that to say, Romans chapter 14, verse 5 says this. Now, this is where it gets really interesting, because some of you might be saying, well, Brett, what does the Sabbath mean? What are we supposed to do then if we don't have to keep it out of the law? But it's one of the Ten Commandments. I kind of hear two things coming from you. You're one is saying, yeah, you should keep the Sabbath. We work too hard. It's good to take a day off. You're supposed to, these are the Ten Commandments. But then you're saying, but we're not under the law. Then what do we do with this? This is where Romans 14, verse 5 says, one man regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, here's what's interesting. If you know me, I'm not a relativist. I believe there are absolutes, and the Bible is very, for the most part, very anti-relativism. But it is interesting, on the Sabbath day, I believe Paul opens a door here that is very unlike Paul, because Paul's Mr. Black and White, right and wrong, yes and no. There's no question about that, except on this one, when he says, some people say one day is more important than the other on the Sabbath day issue, Saturday or Sunday or keeping the Sabbath. But another guy says all the days are the same. But what he says is kind of interesting. He leaves this sort of door open and says, but let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, by the way, you couldn't tell a Jew this in the Old Testament, because that was not true. The Sabbath was clearly defined and they had to keep it. That's just the truth. But for us in the New Testament church, what are we supposed to do with the Sabbath? Well, see, that brings the fourth guy that I'll bring up today, that I hope that maybe you'll consider. The first guy was the guy that says, oh, the Sabbath's good, but it's not for me. The other guy says, the Sabbath day is good, but I'll give it a whirl. But it's one of the Ten Commandments. The other guy says, the Sabbath day is the law, so you better keep it or else. But perhaps there's the person that says it this way, the Sabbath day is sweet, and I'll receive it as a blessing from God. See, this is the problem. We forget that God blessed the Sabbath day. We're told that in our text. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And in verse 11, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, made it holy, set it aside. And here in the Ten Commandments, we're given this great word. And by the way, all the Ten Commandments are really good for us. Oh, there's the thou shalt nots for sure. And it's heavy and you kind of go, man, that's a law. But aren't you glad the Lord says thou shalt not kill? That's a good law. If everybody would abide by this law, we'd live a lot more peacefully in this land. Or thou shalt not steal. Man, that's good for us. Stealing from people is not good. It's bad for the person being ripped off, and it's bad for the person who's stealing. All the commandments are good and beautiful. I like to call them the tender commandments, because it's God's love for humanity saying, I want to bless you guys. If you want to be blessed, then here's my commandments. You see, I would suggest that the Sabbath day principle starts to help us understand the rest of the Ten Commandments, and that is this. We're not under the law because we deserve death and hell. But the law, if you look at it in the love of God, you realize they're get-tos and not got-tos. We get to not murder each other. Praise be to the Lord. You don't have to kill anybody. You're free to not steal because it'll mess you up and it'll mess up others. You're free to not commit adultery because you'll be the most miserable person on the planet and your marriage will be a mess and people's lives will be destroyed. You're free. God's love is just saying, kids, if you want to have blessed lives, then you'll keep my commandments. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what do? We look at the Sabbath day and we realize it's not a suggestion, but it's God saying, man, if you want to be blessed, then you'll keep a day set aside and keep it holy. And it's not a got to. To get to. Well, Brett, what does that mean, man? Do I have to, on the Sabbath day? Well, what if I can't take Saturday? What if I work on Saturday? Let no man judge you concerning which day. If Sabbath happens to be Tuesday for you, and you say, I'm going to set aside a day for the Lord, and Tuesday works, I believe the Lord will bless that and honor it. Well, Brett, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to not work on the Sabbath? Well, what is work to you? Now, you're saying, Brett, that sounds very relativistic. Well, you got to remember, Paul opened that door when he said in Romans 14, 5, he says, let every man be fully convinced in his own mind about the Sabbath. See, here's the thing. I think everybody's kind of different. If you're the guy that works in the sea of cubicles, or the girl that there is in the sea of cubicles, and that one muscle you work out is that little bicep on your finger right here, and there you are clicking away all day, and you don't move. What's a good Sabbath day for you? Do you want to go home and sit down and rest? No, for some of you, going out and mowing the lawn is the most refreshing thing you could do. Go for a hike. Go out and say, I'm going to spend time hiking and just thinking of the things of the Lord and meditating upon his word and kind of taking a day and just saying, instead of being in my cubicle, I'm going to do something very different. See, the thing is, the Sabbath day, one of the things we see is keep it holy. And the idea is separate, consecrated, different. And I think for some people that might mean doing something that others might call work. But the point is, we're to remember it and let every man in his own mind, every woman in her own mind be convinced that you're doing what God has called you to do. See, this is the graciousness of our Lord. This is a commandment that's not quite as easy to nail down personally. Thou shalt not kill, cut and dry. Although we're going to see that maybe not as cut and dry as you might think when we get to that one. Is there a time for killing? We're gonna answer that question when we get to that one. But the Sabbath day one, this is a little trickier because if we're trying to keep the law of the Sabbath of the Jews, then we'd be dead because we'd be breaking their law. I'd like to finish with this scripture, and I think Jesus kind of nails it down. We're almost done. I know it's getting late. Mark chapter 2. They were always trying to nail Jesus down on the Sabbath. Remember that? And one thing, you don't ever hear Jesus harping on people for not keeping the Sabbath. But you actually see Jesus pushing back against the Sabbath day that human tradition made it into something that never was meant to be. So like the dude at Capernaum who had the withered hand. And Jesus went there on the Sabbath day and he healed the guy. And the guy stretched forth his hand and he was healed. His hand was good. And the guy said, what? He healed somebody on the Sabbath? Huh? Lawbreaker. And Jesus would have to say, man, you guys have missed the whole point. Just like this one. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 says, well, it came to pass that when Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. The Jews would have said, they're harvesting corn on the Sabbath. No, they're hungry. They're grabbing a few ears of corn. They're going to eat it. But the Jews, that was against their laws. Was it against the law of Moses? The answer is no. Do you know Jesus kept the law, the true law, but Jesus didn't observe the traditions of man. So in the Talmud and the Mishnah, kind of like, if you would, there was commentaries on the Hebrew Bible that by this time they'd already had, and they made the laws more specific. If you have false teeth and you're wearing them on the Sabbath, you better pull them out because you're carrying something that constitutes work. So you got to take out your false teeth, lay them on the table, and gum your food on the Sabbath day. That's what they were doing. And that's how ridiculous their laws became. And Jesus didn't follow those laws. By the way, I don't follow the traditions of men. And a lot of you were raised in churches where there were traditions of men that are not in the Bible. And we act like it's so holy. Brett, why aren't you wearing the pointy hat and the robe? Because you don't see that anywhere in the Bible. That's just a tradition of man. People made that up. And by the way, the people that made that up were quite corrupt if you look back historically. I don't do that. Because it's not in the Bible. In the same way, Jesus was not going to worry about plucking the corn, the ears of corn. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17 tells us this is okay. So Jesus is doing the right thing, but the Pharisee says, "What? Oh, they're plucking corn on the Sabbath." So check it out. Jesus, the Pharisee said, verse 24, unto him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful, according to their Mishnah or Talmud?" And Jesus said to them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was hungry, he and they that were with him? How that he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful for to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. Great Old Testament story. Jesus is fighting against their logic with the Bible. He says, don't you remember when David went into the priest and ate the bread from the table of showbread, which was against, that was against the law of Moses. So Jesus is basically saying there are times where love supersedes the law. David and his men were literally starving, so they said, okay, put the law aside. Let's live and eat the bread. And Jesus says, oh, didn't you see that even David did that? And they couldn't answer him. Jesus had them. But then Jesus went on further and finished up, and he said, verse 27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath. They were trying to tell Jesus how to keep the Sabbath, but Jesus says, I pretty much am the Sabbath. And you guys don't know what you're talking about. The Sabbath was not made, or man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. In other words, the Lord's saying, I meant it to be a blessing for man, not a legalistic law to ruin man, to make man miserable. No, the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing. And then in the book of Hebrews, where Jesus is the Sabbath rest that we need to enter in. The point is, those that are legalists are missing the whole point. The Lord says, I want you to take a day, remember it, and keep it holy. Not out of legalistic reasons, but because he loves you and he wants to bless you. It's a get to, not a got to. Hopefully today, if there's one thing we go away with, is this, that yeah, it is part of the Ten Commandments. And the reason I want to keep the Ten Commandments is because God has been so good to me. He saved my soul from hell. And he loved me, so I love him. We love him because he first loved us. So because he's been so gracious, and we sing about his amazing grace, his amazing love, all the things that he's done for me. That's the song we just ended with today. Because of that, I'm going to say, Lord, you've given me this list of 10 commandments that I know are meant to be your tender commandments. You love us. You want us to do these things. So I'm going to do this not lawfully or dutifully. I'm going to do this because you love me. And you've been so good to me. I'm going to remember the Sabbath day. And I'm going to keep it holy. Well, what does that mean? Go home, search your heart, search the scriptures, and say, what does the Sabbath day mean for me? And for some, it might be almost more of a traditional Sabbath day that you keep. For others, it might be on Tuesday, and it might be for you to take your Bible and go out and go on a hike and sit on a log and just read the word. Take time. For others, it might be just doing something different. That's the other 6 days of the week is very different than that seventh day. It might just be that simple. But let every man and woman be convinced in their own mind of what God would call them to do to remember the Sabbath day. I think the Lord will bless you. Give it not just the old whirl, but give it place where it's one of the Ten Commandments. Not out of duty, but out of love. So, Lord, I do pray that you'd give us wisdom on the Sabbath day principle. We see it not as much as something we've got to do, but truly it's a blessing that you have given us to do. I pray that we'd view the Sabbath day not as just something we take lightly, but Lord, as it makes this list on the Ten Commandments, I pray that we would consider what you would have us to do personally. Lord, we see a world that blows off the idea of taking one day in seven. We're too busy. We have too many things to do and commitments to make. But Lord, we see how in the word, but also in experience, we see how people that take the Sabbath as a day to keep holy. We see how you've blessed people that have taken that seriously. So give us the right heart, the right mind on this, Father. Help us not to be legalistic about it, but I pray that we'd give it great consideration. Lord, I pray for those who have yet to experience that grace, to be under grace. To be under the law, Lord, we know is death. But to be under your grace is salvation, forgiveness of sin. Where we fail, you make up and clear us up. Wash us clean. Lord, I pray that all the people listening to this sermon, if they've not been saved or committed their lives to you, Lord, I pray that they'd find you to be the true ultimate Sabbath, the rest that we look for. So bless these your people as we pack it up and go today, Lord. I pray that your word would do its work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
We encourage you to take advantage of our media ministry by visiting us at atheecreek.com anytime. There we have all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.